welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. And David?
Natalie?
How are you, Natalie?
A little rusty.
Yeah.
It's been a few weeks.
It has been weeks since we've done one of
yeah,
these.
Yeah, because we had a visitor come stay with us, and then you went to Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah.
So we had to pre-record several episodes.
Yeah, so now it's been like 2 weeks since we recorded one. And I forget. Is that normally what, like, we say our names and I say, how are you? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is there some banter?
Yeah. But we don't have a lot of time for a lot of banter because we're very busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot going on in our lives and has been for years, and it's, like, kind
there's
of a, insane.
There's always something.
Yeah. But I guess that's just...
It's just life.
Adulting. Hashtag adulting, right?
No.
That's what we millennials say. No. You wouldn't know. You're... a baby Gen Xer, right?
No, I'm
a... I'm an elder geriatric millennial, and you're a baby Gen Xer.
No, I'm an elder millennial as well.
Oh,
or
okay.
An Xennial.
Oh, you're an Xennial. Okay.
Some might say.
Yeah.
If I was born in 1981, technically...
Which you were.
I'm a millennial. The very end of it.
Oh, okay. Thought it was 82. Thought I was the cutoff.
Friends and Mothers...
Yeah, first call to action.
Am I an Xer, or a millennial, or a Xennial?
Or
a baby Xer.
Or yeah, baby Gen Xer, baby Xer. That's what I think you. That's how I think of you.
I definitely identify more with an Xer way of life.
And I don't. I definitely feel like I'm a millennial in most ways.
Huh.
Certainly more than Gen X.
You fancy yourself better than me?
No, just a year younger. So, but this is not a podcast about generations. Gen Z, Gen Alpha, that's the new one.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta come up with some better names, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Gen X made sense, because you guys, I'm afraid you Gen X, you're all, like, jaded and over it, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Millennial made sense, because it's, like, the term of the millennium. And now they're just, like, going back to naming them, like,
yeah.
Z and Alpha? I don't know.
I think Alpha's better than... Zoomers, remember they were going to call, like, because of
being on, I feel Zoom, like, I sometimes hear Zoomer still for Gen Z.
Is that what it stands for?
No, I think it's,
no,
just,
it's
like,
just like the end
X, Y, Z.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not, this is not a podcast about generations. This is a podcast about the American network television sitcoms Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each every week. We recap, compare, contrast. We have fun segments. We got a lot to get to today in a short amount of time because we have more shit to do tonight. No rest for the wicked, as they say. So we're on to season 6, episode 17 of both shows. Season 6, episode 17 of Friends is very annoyingly called The One with Unagi. And I'm very mad about it. Because I had my whole challenge accepted guest that had nothing to do with it. Anyway.
Yeah.
And season 6, episode 17 of How I Met Your Mother is called Garbage Island. We're gonna drop a pin in Garbage Island so we can find it later on Google Maps. And we are going to dive in to season 6, episode 17 of Friends, The One with Unagi, which very disappointingly does not include any freshwater eel.
Mm-hmm.
There's mention, but there's no freshwater eel. Yeah. So, we start at the perks, so we're ready to do a shot of espresso. Joey's complaining about only getting a 20% tip, which now I find, because I've always been a 20% minimum tipper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now I find it, like, so often they're just, like, handing you the thing to do, like, which Canadians are... accustomed to. This is how you've always, for years, paid for things in Canada, is you don't hand them the card, they bring you the little handheld machine or whatever.
Right.
I feel like that's happening more and more often now, and I was just, like, reflexively tipping 20% on the thing, because that's what I do.
Yeah.
But I think I've always tipped 20% after tax, and I think those things calculate it before tax.
Okay.
So now I've been trying to do 22 or 25, if that's an option.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway. In any case, Joey's mad about her 20% tip because he needs more money because he needs new headshots. He's in some financial trouble. Also, he gets in trouble. Gunther yells at him, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. So after the titles, Phoebe and Rachel come back to the perk. They've just taken a self-defense class. Ross is on his karate bullshit again, and he claims that there's a concept, a Japanese concept of constant awareness called unagi, which he's clearly making up or maybe misremembering, which because as they point out, weirdly, I don't know, I was taking notes. Is it Phoebe who points out that it's freshwater eel? Because Phoebe's a vegetarian. Like, why would she know? But I guess maybe she knows.
Yeah. She knows a lot of things.
I mean, you know. Yeah. And you're a vegetarian. Yeah. So point out that it's freshwater eel, which is correct, and it's delicious, and I want some right now. but he's saying, no, it's like you have to be aware all the time. It's not enough to just take a self-defense class that teaches you what to do when you know an attacker's coming. You have to be aware of an attacker. This is a bad storyline for Ross.
It is, yeah.
Just didn't have anything for him to do this week, I guess. Chandler's looking for a Valentine's Day present 2 weeks late because he and Monica agreed to make each other
presents. And Monica, working at a restaurant, had to work the weekend of Valentine's, so they're doing it later.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it turns out Monica forgot to make a present too, because Chandler's like, we have to make the whole thing, right? Monica's like, yeah, of course. And then she's like, oh shit, I forgot I had to make something.
Yeah.
My first thought, well, I like, okay, where Chandler ends up would be a good idea if he actually made it. We'll get to that later. My first thought was one or both of them should just pop on into Color Me Mine. Oh my God, I can't say Color Me Mine. They should pop into Color Me Mine.
I don't think they had Color Me Mine in New York in the mid-90s.
This is 2000. Hold on. Well, now I know we're supposed to be trying to rush through this episode, but now I have to look up the history.
But yeah, if not Color Me Mine, the branded store, they had other places that you pick ceramics out and you paint them.
Okay. Well, Color Me Mine does not even have a Wikipedia page, so now I have to look up. This is so...
But there were other ones. So we had several where I grew up. Like, one was called Crafts for Kids, but it was basically a paint place.
I'm also looking at... I didn't realize this. I'm looking at Color Me Mine and realizing, is this just a Los Angeles thing?
It might be local.
Because I look at... They have multiple locations, but they're all in SoCal.
Yeah. But yes, I'm sure they had something like that in New York City.
Yeah, so... Wait, no. They have locations all over. Okay. But I don't know... I can't find the history in, like...
Like the corporate...
Yeah, like when... When were they founded? Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to find. Okay, no. They do have Color Me Mine, like, all over U.S. and Canada. Do you hear Jimmy John's is going to be expanding all over Canada? 350-something locations by 2030 or something?
Oh, okay. Founded in 1991.
All right. So, yeah.
Color Me Mine provides would-be artists with a studio and supplies to create their own ceramic masterpieces.
All right. So, there was probably a Color Me Mine in New York in 2000.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Okay.
Into the mic.
Okay.
I love this.
The first Color Me Mine store opens in 1992. In 1996, the company is acquired by Cuckoo Incorporated.
But Color Me Mine still exists and Cuckoo doesn't.
Yes.
Now that's another, like...
But Cuckoo is a restaurant.
Was.
Yeah.
Let's see. The last location in Santa Monica, California closed in 2014.
Okay.
But Cuckoo, I mean, I don't know.
Cuckoo was in crisis, closing restaurants and laying off employees. Okay, so then it was bought again by Mike Mooslin.
Okay.
And then Duncan Enterprises. And then Chesapeake Ceramics, where it remains.
Color Me Mine was.
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm looking at Cuckoo, which I thought was just an L.A. thing, but I guess they had locations at their height in Florida, Nevada, of course, New Jersey, and Bayside, New York.
Okay.
So, for people who don't know Cuckoo, how would you describe it? It's a California chicken concept, counter...
Yeah.
Ordering, but, I don't even know if people, understand what that means, California chicken. Like, you get basically the wraps.
Roasted chicken in various forms. So, you can get a salad.
Usually with avocado and jack cheese, which is kind of what makes it California.
Yeah.
You
get a salad, you can get it a bowl, you can get it a wrap, but it's, roast chicken.
Yeah. I loved Cuckoo, but I also don't miss it that much because we still have California Chicken Cafe here in Los Angeles, which is essentially the exact same concept.
Right.
You know Scott Aukerman?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember his comedy album, Kukuru's Greatest Hits?
No.
It was never officially released because it was a copyright infringement. But he basically just took an existing album of, like, chill out, like, music.
Yeah.
And then just over the course of the album would be like, number 35. It's so, like, sitting in a cuckoo and, like, listen to that music. And then, it's an entire, like, 48-minute album. We have the CD somewhere.
That's very funny.
It's very, very funny.
And I told you the joke about Esther Pavitsky.
No.
that was California Chicken Cafe.
Yeah, her date took her out to somewhere he said was a nice restaurant, and it was a California Chicken Cafe.
Yeah.
No place where you order at a counter is a nice restaurant.
But because they were, like, 17, like, she thought it was, like, that was, like, a nice restaurant compared to, like, McDonald's or Burger King.
Right.
For him. And she wore, like a little black dress and heels to go to California Chicken Cafe.
I love it.
Yeah.
What would you have considered a nice restaurant at the age of 17 that now you don't think would be a nice restaurant? Like, or is it, and also, is this, like, snobby of us to talk about?
I mean,
Are we privileged?
Like, I mean, my family's, like, fancy restaurant was, like, Red Lobster. And now it's, like, kind of gross and, like, kind of, like, a joke a little bit. Even though, like, I stand by the biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah, the biscuits are good. I don't know. You and I took your parents to Red Lobster less than a year ago, like, last summer.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good.
I thought
it was going
to
be good.
I knew about Ruth's Chris, and I knew that was, like...
I've never been to a Ruth's Chris.
Very, very fancy and expensive steakhouse.
Yeah, I feel like I probably would have thought of... When I was at that age, I probably would have thought of Macaroni Grill as a nice restaurant, or even an Outback in a way,
yeah,
because they were dim, you know, and Macaroni Grill had the, like, those paper table cloth things that they changed every
drawn?
Time. But it seemed like a level of, like, service that I wasn't used to. Now, this is why I feel like we're, like, privileged snobs.
Olive
because,
Garden was kind of like that,
okay.
too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, there are people all over the country who still think of those as nice restaurants, and we shouldn't be judging.
No,
you know,
we're not. Yeah.
Applebee's has really, like, embraced its date night. Do you know about this? Have you heard about the date night thing?
Is it like a deal where you get...
You spend $200.
Oh my God. At an Applebee's?
No. You spend $200 for a pass.
Okay.
And you can get... It's basically a $30 gift card a week for 52 weeks. So if you go once a week, it's like an insanely good deal.
Wow.
If you go 7 times in a year, it pays for itself.
Wow.
But it's basically like it's date night. So the idea
including
is
including drinks?
No, it does not include alcohol.
No. Okay.
Yeah. But it's still like if you and I went out on a date to Applebee's, the $30 would cover our entrees.
Yeah.
And then we'd just be paying for drinks or whatever. Which is I think what they want is to get people in.
But that
but it's
would
like, if
necessitate
you were
going to Applebee's like more than 5 times in a year, which is not something that
in order to make it worthwhile you would have to go minimum 7 times.
Yeah.
But you could go as many as 52 times in a year.
Right.
And save a ton of money.
Right. Yeah, I guess if we lived like next door to an Applebee's,
I
would do it to just save money.
Yeah, you just get a salad.
Yeah,
get a couple salads. Yeah, yeah. All right,
I'm not gonna go out of my way to go to Applebee's.
I don't even know where the nearest one is, actually.
Probably Burbank.
Yeah, Burbank. I can't even picture one though. Chain restaurants, because we're within the Los Angeles city limits, so sit-down chain restaurants are weirdly hard to come by.
But they're all in Burbank.
Except for Burbank, yeah, which is not in the city of Los Angeles.
And Northridge has tons of them. Okay,
right.
There's one in Chatsworth.
Oh, okay, Chatsworth. Yeah. I'll be there Friday. Maybe
17,
I'll go.
17-minute drive, so we should do this $200 deal.
All right, well, now we're way off. Blah, blah, blah. They should go to Color Me Mine, I wrote.
Friends and Mothers, if anyone has ever done this Applebee's date night.
Well, it's brand new.
Okay.
They just started offering it.
If anyone does it, let us know. I'm dying to know how it goes.
Yeah. And also, have you ever been to, or do you even know what Color Me Mine or Cuckoo Roo are or were?
Yeah, didn't we say we were going to make this snappy?
I know. Scott's going to have to wait for the Battleship Retention episode I'm recording tonight. Okay. Okay. No, but I can pick it up. Joey tries to make money by signing up for medical experiments. This is something he used to do earlier in his life. They're not taking any right now, even though he hits on the receptionist. Yeah. This still doesn't find any joy there. But turns out there's a current one going on that pays $2,000, but it's only for identical twins.
Well, it just says twins, right?
No, it's identical twins.
Okay. Well, I know it eventually is, but I think it says twins, and then the doctor says it needs to be identical.
Oh, I thought we knew from the beginning it was identical.
But Joey didn't.
No, I think he thought that he and Carl looked enough alike. But we'll get to it. I thought that was the joke.
Okay.
Phoebe and Rachel are coming home, and Ross jumps out and scares them because he's got nothing else to do this week, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is he still like on sabbatical from the museum for his anger issues? Yeah. Like, get to work, Ross. Yeah. He tries to scare Monica, but she doesn't care because she has unagi. At Joey's audition, it's a bunch of guys who look alike, and he picks out of the crowd Louis Mandalore, whom you might recognize probably mostly from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but he's been in a ton of stuff.
The entire series.
Yeah, he's on all of them. I haven't seen the third one.
Okay, yeah.
But he was also on My Big Fat Greek Life, the short-lived sitcom. Do you remember that?
Yes, but I
never watched it. Yeah.
Neoverdalis is in it?
Yeah, it's like the whole cast. Okay. I think maybe not Andrea Martin for some reason.
That's
I can't
too
remember.
Bad. She's
she's the best. She's the best. I was a PA on a movie that Louis Mandalore's brother Costas Mandalore was in. Nice guy. I like the Mandalores. Chandler comes over to Ross's to ask him for his advice on a present. And then it turns out Phoebe and Rachel are hiding behind the curtains in Ross's apartment and they scare him. Because he doesn't have unagi, or as Rachel says, salmon skin roll.
Yeah.
What is a salmon skin roll? I know what a salmon roll is.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's New York has the, like, you know how New York, like, East Coast has its own, like, Chinese food?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we don't get a lot of poo-poo platters out here in Los Angeles. That feels like a New York Chinese thing. So maybe they have their own sushi as well.
Salmon skin roll, yeah, it's a thing.
I'm sure it is, yeah. Okay.
It looks just like a California roll.
Huh. Friends and mothers, go-to sushi order?
Hmm.
I generally I don't usually like to do this super, like, so every once in a while I'll be in the mood for like a dragon roll or something, but like the rolls that have a bunch of shit on them,
the crunchies and the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And the...
Normally I want to keep it pretty simple. I want to get some miso soup. I want some rice. I want like spicy tuna or something, and I want some unagi. That's kind of like the main. Okay. That's what I want, really.
So I want either a veggie roll or an avocado roll. No fish. I'm a vegetarian. It's not okay to eat fish. They do have feelings. And I like inari, which is bean curd, like tofu skin around rice.
What's the egg thing that you get sometimes?
That's...
Because that's really good.
Yeah. Yamato? Tomato?
You know, you say Yamato, say something. Anyway, that's dumb.
Tamago. Japanese tamago egg. It's like kind of a sweet little omelet.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thing. Yeah.
I think I learned about it from you.
Yeah.
Chandler's in the bedroom looking for a last-minute gift. He once again, the second time in the episode, he tries to do something with a hanger.
Yeah.
And it's nothing.
Yeah.
He almost takes Joey's advice from earlier in the episode and cuts the Monica's underwear to be crotchless.
Yeah.
But then he finds a mixtape in his closet. He says, mixtape. And Monica's very touched by the mixtape, but she presents one of Phoebe's sock bunnies. This came up earlier. This is what Phoebe offered. Like, hey, you can take one of my sock bunnies.
Yeah.
And so Chandler obviously catches her in a lie, and she feels terrible, and she's like, I'll make you any food you want, and I'll perform any degrading sex act you want. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps, she feels so bad, it just keeps going. Like, the next night she's making him more stuff.
Yeah.
She's making cake. She's doing all this stuff. Yeah, Chandler's being terrible by letting this happen.
Yeah,
when he's just as much. Yeah, but then I laughed really hard because Carl, Lewis Mandalore, comes strolling in exactly like Darren, Kramer's intern.
Yes, yes.
Kramer says, "Hey, buddy." Yeah. So he comes in pretending to be Joey. Joey is like mad at Carl for being bad at the job or whatever. Let's see. Phoebe and Rachel come home and they beat up Ross. Oh yeah, Ross is waiting in their apartment, yeah, and they catch him and then they beat him up and they pin him down. Let's see. Joey and Carl go to the medical thing and they're not accepted. Monica. So this is the next night. Monica's still making stuff and she made mac and cheese with cut up hot dogs, which is one of Chandler's favorite dishes.
Yeah.
Which two things. You know, the like. A soy latte something is a three bean soup. What is it? A soy. What would it be? Another bean.
Soybean.
Yeah, soybean and a coffee bean.
Yeah.
A soy something latte is like a three bean stew because it's three different beans.
Okay.
So my favorite version of those that I've talked to you about is that like. Macaroni and cheese with cut up hot dogs technically qualifies as a carbonara because it's a pasta in cream sauce with pork.
Yeah, but my argument is I thought carbonara always had like the egg yolk, like the
I think it's funny.
Isn't that the whole point? Is like it's like a runny egg and you mix it all together.
I don't know if that is the whole point, but that is carbonara. Yeah, that is a good friends and mothers. What's a carbonara?
No, I'm okay.
Oh,
I feel like I already know that that's what it is.
I know that you know, but I want to hear what they say.
Okay, so yeah, that's an early props to the props department because we actually see the mac and cheese with cut up hot dogs in it. It's a big bowl of it.
And the other thing that reminds me, cut up hot dogs always reminds me of my dad's go to dish.
Yes,
which like sounds weird, but if you think about it, is delicious. Because my dad wasn't like that great a cook, but when the cooking was left to him, one of his go-to things was to just like get cornbread mix and make a pan of cornbread, but with cut-up hot dogs in it, which is essentially just a corn dog in a different
corn dog.
Yeah. So it's not like a crazy idea.
I should make that for you, like as a treat.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you to make hot dogs.
I would make vegan.
And I wouldn't want to eat vegan hot dogs. I eat a lot of vegan food, but like vegan hot dogs.
Hot dogs are so processed; they taste exactly like the vegan version.
They do not.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. I have tried. I like a lot of vegan food, but I've like lost interest in a lot of those like proteins, those like fake proteins. I'd rather just have something that doesn't have animal.
Just vegetables.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
I don't like Impossible or what's the other one?
Beyond.
I don't need things that replicate.
Yeah, just have vegetables.
Yeah.
Some
of them are good, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But you love like there's a lot of like Indian food that just like doesn't have any animal stuff in it. It's good. I completely forgot where I was. So that she decides to play Chandler's mixtape, and it turns out it's a mixtape that Janice made for Chandler and recorded herself cooing sweet nothings to Chandler in her voice. Maggie Wheeler obviously showed up and recorded this. It's terrific. It's hilarious. There's a very funny scene where Ross goes to Phoebe and Rachel's self-defense instructor to look for tips on how to attack women.
We'll get to that later.
Okay. That's very funny. Chandler somehow briefly gets Monica to forgive him, which I don't know. I don't know that I buy, but it's just to set up the next joke where she like hugs him and then Janice starts talking again.
Yeah.
Or singing. Oh, yeah, she's singing My Funny Valentine.
Yeah.
And then, Monica's mad. And then at the end, the tag at the end is that Ross attacks two women on the street he thinks are Phoebe and Rachel.
Yeah.
And there's also a funny bit in like explaining why Phoebe and Rachel are watching, like sitting at the window at the park is because someone's taken their seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the whole episode. Any of the stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
Let's move on. Oh, I did have a... I'm sorry.
Oh, please, please.
I'm sorry. I did have a stray observation, and okay. That was... I was kind of grossed out by the incorporation of the sock bunny into, like, the dirty sex acts.
I know, because it's Phoebe's sock.
It's Phoebe's sock bunny, yeah. And they're like, we need to wash this sock bunny. Like, yeah. I didn't like that.
What do you think they did with it?
Well, I mean, why would they have to wash it?
I hope Phoebe washed it before she made a puppet out
but
of it.
But if they put it through the machine, like, all of the... Like, pipe cleaners are going to come
off.
Yeah,
they probably have to soak it cold water in the...
Hand wash that sex bunny.
Yeah. Okay, funniest moments? I'm starting.
Okay.
So, Gunther is yelling at Joey for chatting with his friends on his shift. He says, that guy's been waiting for 10 minutes for his coffee for 10 minutes. He's complained about you 3 times. And then Joey, when Gunther walks away, sips the guy's coffee and says, now, where was I?
I think this is stealing from you because you laughed out loud for this, but when Chandler is trying to figure out what to make for Monica, and he asks Ross, and Ross says...
Well, can I have the quote exactly.
Yeah. Why don't you make one of your little jokes?
He said, I can't figure out what to make Monica. You can make her one of your little jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you stole that from me.
Yeah.
This isn't even a joke. It was just something that Lisa Kudrow said that made me laugh really hard. And I don't know if it was just like an ad lib or whatever. But when she offers the sock bunny, she says, I've started making these little sock bunnies. Oh, for crying out loud.
And she pulls the bunny out of her purse.
Yeah, oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Like, is she impressed by how cute it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we talked about when Ross approaches the self-defense teacher and he says, I tried attacking 2 women. It didn't work.
There's a funny bit when Joey and Carl are waiting to go in, the previous set of identical twins come out, you know?
Yeah.
And then they turn, like, you hear the doctor say, like, thanks for coming in, and they turn around in unison and wave.
Yes.
I thought it was.
Yes.
Funny. All right, that's it.
Oh, I also have when Joey's trying to, like, figure out ways to donate, like, things from his body, he says, maybe they want some blood or spit. And then finally, Joey says to Carl, pizza. We like pizza. Get out. When he's like bossing him around. And then also, this wasn't a funny moment. This seemed odd when Ross said, remember when I had a monkey? Like, they usually don't do those kind of like self-referential jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
Should we move on to Friends with Make It Fashion?
Yeah.
The only thing... I start.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to...
The only thing I wrote down was the medical experiment receptionist had a red sweater that had a simple black line across the chest and then the number 2000 in the middle.
Yeah, I did see that. And I was interesting.
Like, because it's the year 2000.
It's the year 2000. Yeah, people were proud of it.
I guess so.
Big deal. Phoebe has a faux fur... coat over her self-defense workout clothes. I liked it. Should we go under the umbrella?
Yeah, what do you got?
Phoebe, she says, like, I used to beg for money.
Right.
Rachel doesn't like the idea of other people sitting in their seats. They've had issues before.
Like, yeah.
Make this coffee shop a public space.
Yeah.
Their living room. Janice. We get some Janice.
Yeah.
Discussion of crotchless panties in front of Ross. And he's like...
Oh, right. Yeah. That's my girlfriend and his sister.
Yeah. We also get a how you doing? And also, how are you doing, Carl? Carl's mistake.
And also, there's another reference to karate.
Yes.
That's
and then,
new,
yeah, I yeah. guess we mentioned the mention of Marcel the monkey.
Yeah. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, we are back from our quick break, and it is time to jump in to Garbage Island. How I Met Your Mother, Season 6, Episode 17, Garbage Island. Natalie, take it away.
So Ted is at the airport in Hong Kong in the year 2021. Yeah. He's stuck in the airport, and he runs into Wendy the waitress.
Yeah, and it's weird that he doesn't recognize her. I was like, what a douche.
Yeah, so then the whole episode, we're going to figure out how they got there. Yeah. But we're back in present time of the show.
It's weird that he's in Hong Kong in 2021 and no one was wearing a mask, but I guess they didn't.
A global pandemic?
No.
Interesting. Okay, so meanwhile, Nora had fun at laser tag, and Barney asked her to go out for a drink, and she says, like, not tonight, but Barney just, like, tuned her out after that because he felt rejected. So she actually said, like, you should call me, like, let's hang out again next time. But Barney immediately has such thin skin that he's immediately rejected. All he hears is wah, 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 like the Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
So let's see. Meanwhile, Ted just started dating Zoe, and he goes into a story of their dating. It was a funny moment where Wendy said, how's your meat, like their dinner, but he thinks, how'd you meet? So he goes into like the whole story of how they met.
And I love that Robin even tries to stop him, like, Ted, she didn't.
Robin's like truly like the voice of reason. Normally she's like the wackiest, but in these few episodes,
I think she's always the voice of reason when it comes to guns.
Marshall has been quiet, and he's like losing interest in what he loves, which, you know, we know that he's grieving. He's very much in the grieving process from his father. They're also in like a dry spell sex-wise, and
Lily's hard up.
Barney has the weird skill of being able to tell like how long it's been since someone has had sex. He sees Lily's like right away, and he estimates like the 5 weeks and 3 days and 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
And then with Robin, he like takes a look at her, and he's like 18 weeks, and he says like he wants her backslide sex, basically.
Yeah.
And
I'll throw you one.
Yeah. And
there's I don't know if it's in your funniest moments, but when he guesses Lily's 5 weeks and 3 days, whatever you said.
Yeah.
And she's like, you should work for a carnival. And he's like, I tried. They're weirdly strict about background checks.
Yeah. So, but Robin knows that he's like super into Nora. He can't even say her name without smiling.
Yeah.
Marshall can't sleep. So he's watching a documentary about Garbage Island, which is in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is a true thing that still is very, very real.
Yeah.
It's only gotten bigger.
Yes.
It's an environmental catastrophe, as discussed on the show. And so this kind of triggers his going back to wanting to... his passion for like saving the planet, what he wanted to do from the beginning. He wanted to be an environmental lawyer, so he's going environmental, and he wants to do a presentation at GNB, like a reduced carbon footprint and a new green initiative, and he wants the bar to start recycling.
Right.
Let's see. Ted sees the captain. And the captain is pissed off about losing Zoe, and he wants to find out who the scoundrel is who stole her.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that it's actually Ted. Ted is reckoning with being the bad guy in this situation, because he's always like the good romantic guy.
Yeah.
Lily tries to seduce Marshall. Robin tries to catch Barney in a lie and says, like, oh, Nora's going on a date at Cafe L'Amour. And Barney goes there and, like, tries to find
Don't. That's in my...
We'll get that later. Yeah. Actually, mine too. Barney then smashes his phone. So Marshall gives a presentation at work and it goes bad. He nearly got fired, but because he's in mourning, Bob Odenkirk, what's his name?
Arthur
fires poor
Meeker.
Meeker. So Meeker gets fired because of Marshall's presentation. Okay. The captain decides that the scoundrel is the doorman. He has a mustache and he's always winking. Ted reasons with the captain, saying, like, you guys aren't really meant to be because she doesn't like boats. Marshall. Okay,
why couldn't she like boats?
Yeah. When Lily's trying to seduce Marshall, she puts like a, she has like a bunch of tall boys of his favorite beer on ice.
Yeah.
And he's like obsessed with the rings from the,
right. Yeah.
From the can, the, what are those called? Just like the plastic rings.
Yeah.
So he's obsessed with that, like, because he just watched that documentary, and it's going to end up like around a fish's neck or a turtle's neck, and so he goes dumpster diving to find the can ring so he can cut it up. I remember cutting up those, like,
yeah,
all the time.
Now I don't.
As a child, they don't have those.
I don't think they make them anymore. Yeah, I would always cut those up.
Barney failed Robin's test and he demands Nora's phone number, and Robin says, go get her. Ted feels bad about stealing Zoe. He's the bad guy. Marshall, ultimately, we find out that he is sad that his dad won't see him become an environmental lawyer, and right, that he died while he was working in this horrible corporate, you know, environment and not living his dream because he was so proud of him. And for that reason, he doesn't want a baby right now because he's stuck where he is, and he's not ready to start a family in this kind of state, in this phase of his life. Meeker hates Marshall, like, runs out and sees... In front of McLaren's, he sees Wendy trying to pull out the 80-pound bags of recycling, which has... So McLaren's hasn't been recycling this entire
Apparently
time.
Apparently not.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, yeah, like, criminal, really. So then they bond over hating Erickson together, which is why Wendy is at the airport with Meeker... going on their, like, second honeymoon or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Wendy says, like, oh, did you and Zoe get married? He's like, no, I married someone else. Let me tell you about it. And she's like, oh, we gotta go.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah, but he also says, like, it ended poorly with Zoe.
Right. So, yeah, we'll find that out. And then there's an earlier joke about phones making hologram, like, you can talk to holograms from your cell phone in the year 2021, which we don't have that technology.
I mean, I'm sure they probably could make that technology. Yeah, I just don't think anyone really wants it.
Yeah, that's true. And then that's how the episode ends.
Yeah. Couple of stray observations. Mm-hmm. I wanted to point out, so Charlene Amoya, who plays Wendy and has played Wendy since the beginning of the show, she asks, what happened with you and Zoe? Mm-hmm. So obviously she doesn't know. She must have fallen in love with Meeker and run off
right away.
This is Charlene Amoya's last episode.
This is the last time we see her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I feel bad for the actress.
Yeah.
You know, she had a steady job, and then just for this one... Anyway. Not a steady job, but anyway. The other thing that I loved... there's a moment when Barney comes to Robin's apartment. She thinks he's coming to throw her one, but he wants the number
because
he can't read what he wrote because he ripped it up.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of like bickering over Robin's handwriting that is like, it's very cute. It's just like this reminder that like they used to be a couple and they love each other still.
Yeah.
In a way, it's a very cute little like, in what language is that a five or whatever?
Yeah.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
All right. You move on to funniest moments. I only have one, and you can't take it because it's the funniest moment of the entire of both shows combined.
Okay. you can start then.
Oh, you're supposed to go first.
Okay. When the captain says, "Beneath this lustrous mane, I wear the horns of a cuckold."
That's so good. Kyle MacLachlan's great, and they wrote such good lines for him.
There's more.
Yeah, when he... I don't know if you have the rapscallion thing.
He's a rake, a rogue, a rapscallion.
That's what Ted says.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, Ted, rapscallion, I'd be going a little too far.
But I think scoundrel is such a good word that people don't use enough in modern parlance. Because I feel like...
What about blackguard?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Scoundrel. I like scoundrel. I'm going to start using it.
I like blackguard. Okay. So Barney finds out that Robin was lying about Nora having a date at Cafe L'Amour, because he says, "I happened to be at Cafe L'Amour tonight from 5 p.m. to closing, reading a newspaper with two holes cut in it." That is the funniest joke of both episodes. Maybe the funniest joke of this entire season.
Yeah, because, like, you get such a visual. Yeah. And it's
just so cartoonish.
It's so cartoonish. Yeah. Hilarious. I like when Captain says to Ted, "Other girls like boats, don't they?" And Ted says yes.
Yeah.
I like Ted's spit take when the captain is like threatening to like murder the scoundrel.
Oh, right.
He does like a spit take and then he just says, "Oh, that's damn good brandy." yeah, that's it.
All right, let's move on to How I Met Your Mother But Make It Fashion.
Nada.
Oh, I have... two.
Okay.
I liked, and I feel like you're not going to like it, Robin's silk blouse that she's wearing in the last couple scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I also really like, you know, you know, Natalie, that my favorite color is yellow. I don't care if it's childish for a 41-year-old man to have a favorite color. I love the color yellow. And, the captain, the first time we see him, there's two big scenes. The first time he's wearing a yellow sweater that I loved. It's, I think, I Googled it. I think it's called an Aran sweater, A-R-A-N, named after the island of Aran off the coast of Scotland.
Okay.
Because I guess that's where those types of sweaters originated. I don't know. You have to ask the menswear guy on Twitter if I'm right. Now, did you know about menswear guy? Is that?
I think you've told me about him.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we've talked about him on this show.
We've talked about menswear guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's called an Aran sweater, but I loved it. I coveted it.
Because he has, like, a political viewpoint as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he likes to make fun of a lot of conservatives for the way they dress. All right, what's under the umbrella? Oh, I go first. I guess, yeah, I already talked about Wendy. I should have done...
Yeah, Wendy.
Yeah, we kind of already talked about the whole Wendy thing and the teasing that it didn't end well with Zoe and teasing that, you know, the mother story, which is the premise of the entire sitcom. That's mostly what I had for what's under the umbrella.
Yeah, also, like, a return to Marshall's principles. And this is, like, an ongoing, like, from the start, like, Marshall has kind of wrestled with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his career with GNB will come to an end soon.
Yeah. Do you think
good for him.
Do you think maybe they'll get another sketch comedy legend to play his boss at the other, his other job?
I certainly hope so.
Maybe someone that you like to say you're friends with because you met him once.
Weird Al?
No. Sketch comedy legend.
Because I met him once?
Yeah, you met him once, and he's your friend now. All right.
Who?
I don't know. You'll have to guess. Okay.
You know I don't like these.
Yeah, no, I don't want you to. All right, so we move on to similarities between the two episodes then?
Yes.
I have, well, you know, you go first. You go first.
Okay. just game show hosts, when Phoebe and Rachel are like deciding which game show host they can, whose ass they could kick.
Oh, yeah. Because it sounds like they're saying, who would you like, who can get it?
Yeah.
But they're saying, like, who can get it?
Yeah.
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 But wait, what was the game show host in How I Met Your Mother? Did I miss?
Well, like Bob Barker.
Oh, okay. Not in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I do them more generally.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Also, panties. The captain scares the panties off of Ted. That's and right. Also, Joey wants crotchless panties
yeah.
as the gift.
Yeah.
Okay. This is... Yeah, I think this is a good one. Robin says to Barney, "You are so smitten." And do you remember when Phoebe calls Monica a smitten kitten?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Also, kinky sex with puppets and with plastic can rings. Lily wants to use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because he's like, "What'd you do with those?" And she's like, yeah. "Oh, I threw them away, but we can use handcuffs or something." Yeah, yeah. But that's in the same vein. I had ladies seducing their beaux.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's play favorites.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
How I Met Your Mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the Ross storyline, no. But this episode had Kyle MacLachlan. It had. Barney being smitten, which is always cute.
Yeah.
And it had the funniest line of the entire series for me.
Yeah.
Let's catch up on our correspondence, because Yay! We do have a fair amount of correspondence.
All right.
So I'm not going to go in any particular order. I'm just going to go by app or method, because people reach out in different ways. Let's see. I think I actually told you this, but our friend Steph reached out to us about our sort of ongoing question about Thai restaurants and which like parts of the country have
okay.
lots of Thai restaurants.
Okay.
And it turns out a lot of parts of the country and a lot of parts of the world have many Thai restaurants, because in the early 2000s there was actually a government program in Thailand
yes.
to A, train people to cook Thai food,
yes.
and B, train people and partially fund people to move abroad and open restaurants. It was a sort of cuisine diplomacy or something like that, that they, and it worked. Now there's Thai food everywhere.
Yeah.
And we're all the better for it.
Yeah.
So that's great. So that was on Instagram. Over at Blue Sky. Okay, tell me, I can't remember if we did this one or not. Because we had talked about coffee orders or coffee places.
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about Philip saying he goes to a local coffee franchise in North Texas called 151 Coffee, and he usually gets a basic caramel macchiato?
I don't think we did.
Okay, so that was what Philip said.
Okay.
And then...
Sounds good.
And then this I didn't tell you about. I wanted to tell you so bad.
Okay.
Speaking of people that are our friends, because... But we say our friends because we met or sat near once.
Okay.
You remember we went to see Josh Radnor do a show?
Yes.
And we sat at one table over from his girlfriend.
Yes.
Well, she's not his girlfriend anymore. They got married.
Mazel tov.
They got married early January, outdoors in the middle of a snowstorm.
Oh, my gosh.
They decided not to, like, call it off. Their guests, including Allison Hannigan, bundled up and stood out in the snowstorm for the vows and everything, but the reception was inside. They talked a lot. Look, Josh Redner and Jordana Jacobs were married outdoors this month amid a snowstorm with their 164 snow-drenched guests shivering in the 20-degree evening air as Dr. Jacobs read a 10-minute monologue about her beloved and Mr. Radnor responded with a 10-minute soliloquy.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, you should read this whole New York Times story.
Yeah. Let me see that photo.
That's them after they're married walking in the snow. They sound like... I mean... A younger me would have rolled my eyes a lot. Now I just think this is very cute.
Yeah.
Like, they are... Because they met... The story has a whole thing about how they met. they met at like a retreat where they were both like on like mushrooms. And so this sort of like spiritual mumbo jumbo self-help stuff is like in the relationship, like at the party the night before their wedding, all of the guests had to write their intentions on a card and then toss it into the fire. I love this stuff too. But like literally like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, easily, I would have rolled my eyes so hard at all this. But now I love it. I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. So good for Josh Redner and Jordana Jacobs. Good for... and she's a doctor. She's a therapist. She's a psychologist.
Amazing.
Or a psychiatrist. I can't remember what she is. I think she's a psychologist. This picture is adorable of them in the snow. Correspondence. So Yuhani, we haven't heard from Yuhani in a while, but he said about our last over the last episode we covered of which was the one that could have been part two. He says, not the best episode of Friends, but at least that Ross storyline, this is about the threesome and everything, is the most uncomfortable I've ever been watching this show, so that's something. Come to think of it, maybe it's the only time I've ever felt bad for him. And then Yuhani goes on to say, the biggest misstep in my underage drinking was trying some disgusting fruit liqueurs, but mostly I stuck to beer and ciders. When I could buy my own drinks, I briefly got into Vat 69 because of Ron Livingston's character in Band of Brothers, then White Russians because of the dude, then Screwdrivers because of Ordell Robbie, with Samuel Jackson's character from Jackie Brown. Did we have that question? Yeah, that was the question.
Because we talked about Boone's Farm and Zima and drinks that we thought were good when we were underage drinkers.
But I think I brought up that I would drink scotch and water.
Right.
Because of Hitchcock characters, and then also Michael Fassbender's character in Inglourious Basterds drinks scotch and water, but that's supposed to be a Hitchcock reference.
And I drink Tom Collins because of Faye Dunaway.
Okay, yes, we talked about all this. Yes. Yeah. And then Yuhani mentioned some older callbacks that we probably
forgot about.
Teenage Dirtbag kicks ass, but apparently not many of their other songs do. There was a period when you couldn't go to a thrift store without seeing the used CD bin at a record store without... Yeah, anyway. He also says... And I don't like this that he calls me Davey, but anyway. I guess,
call you Davey.
I know, you call
me.
And
that's your Twitter name, so get over it.
Yeah, you're right. He says, funny that Davey said he'd consider a Roadrunner tattoo, because I myself have been considering a Wile E. Coyote tattoo. I like his Sisyphean nature.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you.
You're with Yuhani.
Yes. I've always felt bad for him, Wile E. Coyote.
Roadrunner is cool.
It's in his nature to
try be a loser.
Yeah.
No. He's a huge loser. No. Roadrunner is a winner.
The coyote is a predatory animal. Like, he's just trying to...
But this one, Wile E. Coyote, is not very good at it.
No, and that's why...
He's a huge loser.
I don't think he's a loser.
And Roadrunner is a winner. I like winners. You know? I'm like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I like the Roadrunners that didn't get eaten. That's me. Okay. He said, also, this is funny that you both remember Pocahontas.
Yeah.
He said, I wasn't aware of that film.
Yeah.
Nice. I wasn't aware of that film before, but I used to go to pub trivia where one of the questions was always porn related. That's fun. He says, I don't know if proud is the word, but let's say I was proud when they asked what the name was of the Pocahontas porn parody, and I deduced that the name had to be Pocahontas.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's
perfect. Okay, so that we had two from Steph, one from Philip, one from Yuhani. Now we have one from Alex. Alex says, Happy New Year. I have not read this yet, by the way.
Okay.
Alex says, Happy New Year. Whilst I remember from a previous episode, being English, I pronounced croissant as croissant anyway, without it sounding pretentious, at least to other Southerners. I guess it's a Southern England thing, because it's closer to France, I guess? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Also, we, of course, have a different drinking age, 18, which must make university rather different over the pond, as you describe. Mm-hmm. After my last day of sixth form college, equivalent of high school seniors, we all went to the pub. 18-year-old students often spent their first week at uni, freshers week, going to pubs and nightclubs and often playing drinking games. Our uni even had talks followed by free wine and sandwiches on occasion. At the risk of sounding square compared to raiding liquor cabinets or drinking out of those red cups at wild house parties in American movies, my first drink was a small glass of sparkling wine aged 14 on Millennium Eve with my parents. Then in my late teens, my mom often let me have wine with dinner, usually Liebfraumilch, a German sweet white wine I was told I'd grow out of, but never did. When first going out, although I was never that much into clubbing, I'd drink wine or Alco-Pops like Smirnoff Ice or Bacardi Breezers, often seen as girly drinks back then. Oh, yeah. Reminds me of one of our favorite Kids in the Hall sketches. Girl drink drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Alex goes on to say, I didn't used to like beer, but I eventually got a taste for cider. Hard cider in American English, I hear. Yeah, because there is a lot of non-alcoholic cider. Yes. So you use hard cider. Going to pub quizzes. A lot of pub quizzes this episode. With friends from uni, then Guinness at the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and wheat beer at the German Christmas Market, eventually getting into beer and ending up on the committee of my local campaign for real ale branch. Now I have to look up what campaign for real ale is.
Yeah.
Are you looking that up?
Yeah.
Okay. He also says, my first sushi may have been the kind they have in supermarkets with the baguettes in the snacks to go section. Oh, okay, with the baguettes and, yeah, next to the baguettes. Although I have been to sushi restaurants since. There are many jokes about how many prime ministers Larry the Cat has outlasted. I think he's on his fifth. Remember we talked about Larry the Cat, the royal mouser. Mm-hmm. Or not the royal mouser, he's the prime minister's mouser. Yeah, at Downing Street.
Yes.
Not at the palace. What's the campaign for real ale? Have you found it?
It's an independent voluntary consumer organization headquartered in St. Albans, England, which promotes real ale, cider, and perry in traditional British pubs and clubs.
Sounds fun.
That's very cool, yeah.
Yeah. I'm drinking a lot less beer this year. I think I talked about that already. So that's our correspondence.
And look at this logo.
That is a cool logo.
That's a cool logo.
Yeah.
So it's camera, and the C is the...
Like the handle of a stein.
Of a stein, yeah.
Yeah, and the rest of the words make up the stein.
That's very cool.
Very cool. Thank you, Alex, for that. And if you send us any correspondence that I missed, please send it again, because I know that's happened before, and especially when it's been weeks, it might have just gotten lost. Especially, I was at Sundance, so I got a lot of tweets and was tweeting a lot, so could have gotten lost in the if it's a Twitter thing. Anyway, what's the next segment? It's been so long that I forgot what the next segment is. The next segment is my favorite segment to introduce. It's called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world in the days of these episodes aired. Season 6, episode 17 of Friends, the one with Unagi, aired on Thursday, February 24th, 2000. February 24th every year is the Estonian Day of Independence. Estonia gained its independence from Germany. It was part of the German Empire at the end of World War I. Has been independent then for, 105 years now. 1918 to 2023. 2024, 106 years of independence for Estonia. Top five songs in the U.S. that day, since Natalie has nothing to say about Estonia. Top five songs.
Yeah, sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry, I had to text.
Oh, okay.
Important text.
Top five songs in the U.S. that day. At number five, Faith Hill. Is this... I Can Feel You Breathe. Is that Breathe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Breathe. Yeah, okay. Number four, Christina Aguilera. What a Girl Wants. And number three, do you remember this song? Amazed by Lone Star? I know that. I want you to look it up, but I obviously you're very busy doing
you're
other
really
things
putting
than our
me to work.
Than
well,
our
I
podcast.
I have it right here. God.
So it's like oh, yeah. Maybe I'm amazed by you. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a dumb song.
Being bad. It's catchy.
It's a dumb song.
It's catchy. All right, friends and mothers, what do you think of Amazed by Lone Star?
It might help. It might, you know, change your mind if you watch the music video.
Well, this is why I never watch music videos.
Yeah.
I try not to. Let's see. What was it? Where was it? That was number three?
Yeah.
Number two, Mariah Carey, Thank God I Found You. And number one, Savage Garden, I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You. Season 6, episode 13 of How I Met Your Mother, Garbage Island, aired on Monday, February 21st, 2011. Not a lot of super fun things happened. A lot of bad stuff happened. So I'm trying to find something. Snow emergencies in Minneapolis and St. Paul. That's obviously not good, but it's one of the least awful things I'm reading on here. Most of these are about like terrorist attacks and military stuff. So yeah, it was really snowy in the Twin Cities on that day. What do you think about that?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Carmelo Anthony was traded to the New York Knicks on this day. What do you think about that?
Sounds about right.
Top five songs in the U.S. on this day. Where was I?
Oh, is it Dave Foley who I'm best friends with?
Yeah. That's why I mentioned Kids in the Hall later. I was like, Kids in the Hall? Yeah. Top five songs in the U.S. on this day. At number five, Pink, Fucking Perfect. At number four, Wiz Khalifa, Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, Black. At number three, Bruno Mars, Grenade. At number two, Katy Perry, Maybe You're a Firework. And at number one, Lady Gaga, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. I like that song.
Me too.
Yeah. Is that the end of the episode? What else do we do? Oh, no, we got to do Challenge Accepted. It's been too long. Challenge Accepted. I'm going to need you. Oh, no, first we have to look at how we did last week.
Okay.
So, I said Monica attempts to introduce the gang to sushi, and they are grossed out like the lamos that they are. There was...
None of that.
Not only are they not grossed out, Rachel and Phoebe wanted to get sushi, or Rachel wanted to get sushi.
Yeah.
You said the gang fantasize about shipping their exes off to Long Island, aka Garbage Island. So we were both way off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need you to vamp.
Okay. Sliced prosciutto, uncured bacon wrapped porchetta, holiday vegetable hash, 22-inch pine cone wreath, chocolate mochi ice cream, fried olive bites, Italian truffle cheese, figgy cheddar.
Okay. That Fearless Flyer is out of date.
I know. I need
it's all Christmassy
one.
Stuff.
I know.
It's like someone... still having the Christmas lights on, which
you
some
know,
people do.
I think we'll get one in February for Valentine's
Day. I hope
Day.
So. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, when people... I understand people, like, don't have time to take down their Christmas lights, but when people keep turning them on, like, late into January, it's like... It's just making me sad at this point. I'm missing Christmas. Yeah. Sorry. Season 6, episode 18 of Friends is called The One Where Ross Dates a Student.
Okay.
I forgot. Ross is teaching now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I said, is he still unemployed? Okay. Okay. Sorry. Now I'm getting an important
text.
I have an important test in the morning. I have a test.
No, why are you studying?
What does Lisa say? I have a test and birds suddenly appear. Do you remember they get... I can't remember, like, Homer and Bart are, like, away, and it's just Lisa and... It's just the women at home, and they get a new doorbell
okay.
that plays... what is that song called? Close to You?
Why do birds?
It, so it plays
the
that,
yeah.
but then it gets stuck, and it just won't stop... playing.
Yeah.
And Lisa at one point says, "Oh, I need to get to sleep. I have a test tomorrow and birds suddenly appear." I mean, English. All right. So, the one where Ross dates a student. So, obviously they know it's bad. Or they wouldn't call the episode that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to say, like, does Ross date a student who's not his student? I'm going to say creepy Ross looks for a moral loophole that will let him date a much, much younger person. Okay. That's my guess.
Okay.
Season 6, episode 18 of How I Met Your Mother is called A Change of Heart.
A change of heart. Who has a change of heart? Is it going to be Barney with Nora? Is it going to be Marshall and having a baby? Is it going to be Ted with Zoe? Let's see. So it's up to those three. So let's figure it out. Okay. Zoe is going to go back to the captain.
Ooh. Okay. Because we heard that it ends badly, right?
It ends badly.
Okay. Zoe.
And maybe she'll miss the boating life.
Zoe decides she likes boats.
After all.
After all. And goes sailing back to the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it. We did it. That's the episode. You can find this episode wherever you found it. You already did that. You've proven your mettle there. You can also find a post for every episode at Battleship Retention. Leave a comment there, like Yohani did.
Yeah.
You can email us, like Alex did, at thewhenwhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter or Blue Sky, like Philip and Steph did, at Davey Pretension. Steph also reached out, like, DM'd me on Instagram, but don't do that.
Why not?
I mean, I know Steph. We've met, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But my Instagram is, like, you'll notice that, like, I'm Davey Pretension on Twitter and Blue Sky. On Instagram, I'm just David Bax, because that's, like, it's not a Battleship Retention thing. It's, like, it's more of a friends thing. Friends and family on Instagram. You know?
Not a friends and mothers thing?
It's not a friends and mothers thing. But because I know Steph, it's okay.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, I guess
Steph,
only Steph
can
or,
reach out to us in any way possible. We've provided a P.O. box. I'll give you my address if you'd like.
I'm trying to think who I follow on Instagram who also listens to this show. Steph, Carrie, Matt. I think you're allowed to reach out to me on Instagram.
I think it's fine.
It is fine. This is all just a bit.
You have a public... Okay.
This is all a bit.
Okay.
Anyone can reach out to me anyway.
I'm just reassuring our friends and mothers that you can reach out to us any...
Yeah, of course. This is all a bit. I don't care. But that's where you can find me. Natalie, where can people find you on the internet?
You can't, as you know. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers.
Right.
Let us know your sushi order.
Let
us know... what carbonara is.
Yeah, what is carbonara? Do you like Amazed by Lone Star?
Watch the video.
Okay, maybe I'll watch the video. Being born in 1981, is Natalie a Gen Xer or a millennial?
Yeah.
Do you like Applebee's for a date night? Have you ever been to Color Me Mine? Have you ever been to Cuckoo?
Yes, and if you do the date night, let us know. We want to know everything.
Yeah.
Because... we might do it.
You're talking yourself into it?
Yeah.
Remember from last week, all of our calls to action are evergreen. But just remember from last week, what was your underage drink of choice?
Yes. Yes. Again, if you like this episode, you can rate it, but you could also give us 5 stars, and if you don't think we deserve 5 stars, let us know why. We like criticism. And until next time, we'll be on stakeout at Cafe L'Amour.